sure there's recording space over here. Today is electricity on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. The question is, so let's take a step by step. So that's clear. When the electricity first came out, it was basically presented in the context of the electric light bulb. The truth is, they had already the telegraph before they had the electric light bulb. But that which had really moved into the world of individual people, etc., was the electric light bulb. So the question was, is an electric light bulb considered, was there a problem with the electric light bulb? So that's multiple Paiskim came along and said, based on the Rama, which you mentioned in the Shir and on Monday, that the Rama says taking metal and heating it to the point that it starts to glow is considered either mavir, making a fire, or bishul. It's one of the two. So it's either, the Rama says, actually says both. Different places has different reasons. So turning on the light bulb allows the current to go through the filament. The filament is made of a material. An incandescent bulb, the filament is made of a material which, due to its resistance, etc., the friction causes the electricity going through it to create a very high resistance. Resistance will cause friction. Friction causes heat. Heat makes it glow. And now you have this beautiful thing which is glowing. So you did the melacha of mavir or bishul. That was pretty clear. Nobody seems to really argue. Take it back. I can't say nobody seems to argue about it, but the accepted psak was that's correct. The question which came up was, we're in a situation where a person is dealing with electricity without any light involved. So let's move to the next step. So what are we doing with this electricity? So let's say, for argument's sake, I'm turning on, a person would turn on a switch, turn on a machine, and the machine will do a malacha which is prohibited to do on Shabbos. So person turns on a washing machine. So the washing machine is washing the clothes. So the washing clothes in Shabbos is a malacha d'oraisa. It's malabin, it's cleansing. A person will turn on an electric oven and it will bake the food, it will cook the foods. He's doing the malacha bishul. So now the question is the action which the machine does, consider the person's action? That would be the second area to discuss. And that, again, the consensus of most poskim is that the action is considered the person's action. That really deserves a whole shiur on its own. Where we draw the line between what's called a mice and what's called groma. Right? So that's a sugya in itself. But let's assume for argument's sake that's true. Now the question is, now let's move to the third scenario. What I want to talk about today is a scenario where there's no lights involved and the action that the machine is doing is not prohibited on Shabbos. For example, a person turns on a fan, electric fan. So it's blowing air. There's no issur in the Torah of blowing air from point A to point B. That's not one of the lamatas melacha. So the problem is not the action which is taking place. There's no fire burning in the sense of that the bulb is a problem. So is there a problem just intrinsically with using electricity? Nothing to do with the results of what it accomplishes, because the results are not prohibited. There's nothing wrong with taking a big fan, the good old pictures you have in the movies of the guys with the big leaf going up and down, making air move. That's what they're on Shabbos. All right, so moving air is not the problem. The problem is I'm using electricity. Simple, plain and simple. Is there any problem with that? A, if there is a problem, what is the problem? So, the first person who addressed this, to my knowledge, is the Sefer Beis Yitzchak. Beis Yitzchak was one of the big poskim in Europe, in Poland. One of the gdolim in Poland. And he addressed this in a tshuva, actually before the turn of the century already, 1900. And he said it's a problem. So what's the problem? Problem is based on a Gemara, a halacha in Hilchos Yom Tov, Gemara in Be'ah. The Gemara says that there's an isser to take something which has a good smell and perfume clothing with it. I can't take an esrog and rub an esrog on a cloth to put a nice smell into the esrog. I can't take on Yom Tov, you're allowed to burn things. I want to take this item which has a good smell, put it on the coals, and it will infuse its scent into my garment, which will hang above it. So you can't do that on Yom Tov. Why? Molid reich. You're creating a smell. So what's so bad about creating a smell? Like what's so bad about that? So Rashi says, because it's along the lines of making something new. You took this thing which wasn't smelling before, you make it smelling, it's like making something new. It's like a new thing. Making something new is like creating something, therefore it's like malach on Shabbos. It's a drabbanon, you know? The idea of adding a new dimension to something which wasn't there beforehand. Pashas, if you look for the area of the malacha you would see problematic, you say makapatish. Makapatish is the completion of something. You took something from being not functional to functional, or being not fully functional to being more functional. So adding another dimension to something's function, that's makapatish. You're completing it. So this is somewhere a rabbinic type of a makapatish along those lines. So he says, if that's true, being merlin reyach, taking something which is not working, you have this box over here which is like doing nothing, all of a sudden you turn it on and wow, it's blowing air all over the place. You definitely added a dimension of function to it which wasn't there beforehand. You're being merlin a kach, you're introducing an ability to it which wasn't there beforehand. So the same way you can't be merlin a reyach because you're adding a dimension of function, you can't be merlin a kach, you're adding a dimension of function. That's what the basis looks said. So that's going to be the rabbanon, not the deraisa, based on the gemara over there. Now, what's interesting, if that's the problem, so there's machlokas over there. Let's say it smells already. Are you allowed to add? Are you allowed to strengthen the smell? Are you allowed to add more smell to it? The same smell, but just a little more. So I already perfumed it before Shabbos, and some of the Shabbos I realized it's sort of like losing its intensity. So I want to take another spritz and go spritz on my garment on Shabbos. The machlokas, you're allowed to, by the way, you're allowed to put something for smell on your body, because the Mora says that putting on the body, the nature is that it wears up pretty quickly because of the sweat, etc. But on a garment it lasts longer, so on a garment it's also on your body, it's mutter. So a woman could put perfume on her body, but she can't put perfume on a garment. It's relevant to deodorants, but you put deodorant on your body even though it has a smell, that's not a problem. But if you want to spray it onto the garment, it would be a problem. Let's say it smells already. You already did that. You want to add more. You're just being moisif reyach. Well, the whole problem is like adding a dimension of function. All the function is there already. It already smells. Just want to make it smell better, more. Is that also or not? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that that's mutter. So if this is the problem, we could argue that once the electricity is going, to increase the intensity of the current would not be problematic. So this would be relevant, for example, of using a microphone. Using a microphone, the whole time the circuit is complete, the electricity is there. When you talk into it, it uses more current because it has to now take your voice and transmit your voice. When you pause, so it uses less. So if I would leave the microphone on from before Shabbos, talking into the microphone would not be a problem. So Moshe actually has a tshuva about this. He has two tshuvas about this. He has a tshuva about microphones, which he says is osur. He says four reasons why he thinks they're osur. The next tshuva is tshuva about using a hearing aid. A hearing aid really is a microphone. It has a receiver which you talk into, and it has something which amplifies the sound, and then it puts it out. Well, that's what a microphone is. It takes the sound in, amplifies it, and puts it out. So Moshe says that hearing aid is mutter, wearing hearing aid is mutter, it's mutter to speak to the person who has a hearing aid. One of the arguments is because the electricity is already on, you're just speaking into it, you're just increasing the flow of electricity, and that's not a problem. He said in the tshuva for microphones, it's also. Microphones, he says, also for what reasons? Hearing aids, he's makel. Obviously, he felt that for a hearing aid, we're dealing with a person's, otherwise, a person will be sort of like basically bound, sit by themselves, all by themselves on Shabbos. Is that we would try and find some stud in the kula, whereas microphones, we will survive without it. It's all part of this new trying to reform things type of thing. So let's be careful about these yisurim and be machmir on the stud in the kula. So that's the first. That was the first argument. The basis of the argument was that based on the concept of merlid reyach, merlid kayach. Okay, there were many of the early poskim who addressed this issue, who seem to assume that it's an issur of esh. You're being ma'aver esh. Because electricity itself has a din of esh. Electricity itself is considered fire, even though there's nothing burning. Right? So Shlomo Zalman has strong shuvas about that, where he feels that in Ravadu, etc., that once they understood better how electricity works, they felt that was a mistake to compare electricity to H. The truth is, really, this should, even if you would want to compare it to Aish, you would have to get involved in the following question. There's a machlokes between the Igle Tal and the Shulchan Aruch Rav in the Malach of Mavir. In the Malach of Mavir, which is making a fire on Shabbos, what is the root of the Malach? Is the root of the Malach the consumption of the fuel? There is the fire consumes the fuel, and that is intrinsic to the act of the malacha. Or is it the ash which comes out of it? So if you're saying it's the consumption of the fuel, then that's not true by electricity. There's no, the electricity itself is, I mean, even though there's fuel being used to make electricity, well, the fuel is boiling water. Boiling water is making steam. Steam is moving a turbine. The turbine is creating electricity. You're not consuming that fuel. That's not the issue. The issue over here is, what he means is, as this, the power of fire is to burn up that which it's consuming, and that's the malacha. The malacha is that the consumption itself, the change of this physical thing into something else is the malacha. Well, that's not taking place by electricity. So to argue that that's Aish, we get involved in that machlokes. Shlomo Zalman, Ravadia, Yosef, etc., they all felt that that was an incorrect understanding of how electricity works and what Aish is. Therefore, they did not approach it from that angle. Okay. The next approach was the Chazon Ish. Now, the Chazon Ish is very similar to the approach of the Beis Yitzchak. But there's a difference. Whereas the Beis Yitzchak was very clear that what he's referring to is an Issur Rabbanan, based on the Gemara and Beya of Merlid Reach, therefore Molid Koyach, create smell, create sense, create power, energy. The Chazon Ish says almost a similar type of idea, but he sees it under the Raisa level. This is based on the Gemara and Shabbos of Daf Mem Zayin and Aleph, and the Gemara over there says the following. So we have a malacha known as Machka Patish. Machka Patish is taking something and bringing it to its final function. It's completing the kli. Is considered the Machka Patish. Is considered a malacha. So in itself, it's just a malacha. Why? Because, right. So now, how much do you have to add to be considered Machka Patish, and how permanent does it have to be to consider Machka Patish? So we sort of picture like, well, it's like the last thing, and it's going to be forever. As long as this kli is going to remain such, that's the malacha of Machka Patish. So there's clearly a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Beis, where Rashi learns the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about taking stones which would be using a building process, and they would put certain types of drawings or at least markings on it, you know, some type of, to give it some type of symmetry, etc. Rashi says each line that you draw is Machka Patish on that line. You've completed that part of the function. So I don't need to be the final step of finishing the kli. Each step of completing, if this is the final part of doing this part of the kli, that's called Machka Patish. Well, whatever, it's, once it's done, it's going to last forever. What about a case where it's not going to last forever? So the Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin deals with something called a Kana Shel Sayodin. Kana Shel Sayodin was a whitewasher or a painter's stick. Now, you would want to paint the wall, so you stand on the ground and you paint the wall. So how do you get to the top? So they had sections which you would screw in. You would have, it's an extension pole. So you would have, you're down low, you would hold it with the handle and you would work over there. You went a little higher, you would screw in another extension, and you screw another extension, etc., etc., etc. Then when you got to the top, you would unscrew them and go back down, and that's how you would use it. So it was definitely not very permanent. And the Gemara says that Kana Shel Sayodin, if you put it in tightly, attach it tightly, is the Malacha D'Oraisa. Now, what's the Malacha D'Oraisa? The Malacha D'Oraisa is either going to be Machka Patish or Bonet, because you're taking the kli and making it more functional. Right now, you cannot reach the higher parts of the wall without it. So you added a level of function which wasn't there beforehand. So you've completed the kli for that purpose, or you build up the kli for that purpose. Plug is Rishon on what the Malacha is. It's Machka Patish or Bonet. But even though it's not permanent, but adding a level of function which wasn't there beforehand, and you cannot use this to reach the high parts of the wall. You cannot paint the high parts of the wall, and now you could. You added a whole level of function, albeit temporarily. That's the Malacha D'Oraisa. Zot Chazon Ish, Gebalt Mabel, taking this lump of metal, and all of a sudden it starts doing things, that's definitely adding a level of function which wasn't there beforehand. And it's definitely considered a strong connection, because with the Tanai over here, it has to be done tightly. Well, the electricity, when it's functioning with the Kli, is functioning very bound to it. It's you know, the nature of the metal, it has the ability to have electric. The metals which are conductors have a very strong ability, properties of conduction. It's very bound into the actual nature of the metal that it's able to conduct, etc. So that's considered a tightly bound connection between the electricity and the wire. So taking this wire from being dysfunctional to functional is makapathos. Now one place he says it on the wire, one place he says it on the kli. Okay, do you find any type of a dogma to this in halacha lemaisa before the Chazon Ish? So there actually was a chayadim. The chayadim dealt with a clock, which is based on a spring. A grandfather clock was an example. So you would have to pull the weights tighten the spring, and as the spring slowly releases, it moves the mechanisms which tell the time. The clock stopped. So the Chayonim said pulling the weights to re-tighten the spring and therefore make the clock start again will be malacha deraisa, because you have a dysfunctional kli, a clock which doesn't tell time, isn't really doing too much for you. And now you're making it functional by all you did is tighten the spring. It didn't really do anything, but you've added the energy into the spring to allow the mechanism to function the way it's supposed to function. The Chayonim felt that was malacha deraisa of makar patish. So the Chazon Ish does not, if I recall correctly, does not feel this, you know, mention the Chayadim, but it would be along the lines of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish held that turning on electricity into some type of electric appliance, even though what the machine, the appliance, is doing is not prohibited on Shabbos, but the simple act of adding electricity to it would be a lach of the rice.
Because of Makapatish.
So it's very similar to the argument of the Beis Yitzchak, but the Beis Yitzchak is seeing on the Rabbana level of Merlid Koyach, Merlid Reyach, Merlid Koyach, and the Chazon Ish is seeing on the Deraisa level of Makar Patish. There's a fourth approach. So we have the approach of the Beis Yitzchak, the approach of those which feel that it's considered Eish Mamish. We have the Chazon Ish, which is considered it's Makar Patish, based on this Gemara, Dafim Zion. There's a fourth approach, which is a very bechidish. There's a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael nowadays named Rabbi Weiss, fairly well known. Rabbi Weiss turned this Talmud Chacham a Pesach, etc. He has been selling this approach, like trying to get everybody to agree to it. He brings a Yerushalmi. So we know there are Obas and Toldos in the Lama Tes Malachas, and actually Shalmi says that there are Lama Tes Malachas, and each of the Lama Tes Malachas has Lama Tes Toldos. So there's 39 times 39 Malachas and Shabbos, plus, well, actually 39 times 40, because there's Lama Tes Obas, and then there's Lama Tes Toldos, each one of the Obas. So between the Lama Tes Obas, and so you have 40 times 39, right, so you have 1,561 different types of malachas which could be relevant to doing Shabbos. So he wants to know how do we know what the toldos are? So let's just explain the obus and toldos. Obus means the primary source. Tolda is something which is a derivation. Something is derived, so a parent and a child, the child is the primary source, the child is derived from the parent. That's an av and a tolda. So there's a concept of obus and toldos. We have the lama tes malachas are the primary sources, and we derive from them certain things. So we understand that. How do you derive a tolda? So the Magen Mishnah says that the way we look at an av, and every av has in it really two things. Every one of the obus has its function and purpose, and we have the process how it's done. He says a toll. Olda is derived if you have a similar type of action, albeit with a different function, or a similar function and purpose, albeit with a different action. So either one of those would be a tolda. So if it has both, it's another form of liyab. So for example, the Gemara grapples with, excuse me, the Rambam discusses that in the Mishkan, the Malach of Zerei, where was Zerei? Zerei was they had to plant certain types of seeds to grow certain types of plants to get the dyes that they needed for the purpose of dyeing the cloths which were used in the building of the Mishkan. That's how the Bavli says it. The Yerushalmi says because they had a plant to be able to make the lechem aponim, etc. But either way, you're planting seeds. So what about if you plant a tree, a sapling? Well, it's fairly similar, but here you're planting a seed. Here you're planting a sapling. It already exists. It's ready to grow. Here it has to grow out of the seed. If a person would plant, so it more actually refers to the difference between zareya and noteya. Your noteya and elon, your zareya, something which is a seed. Zareya and noteya, according to the Gemara, seems to say that those are both ovis. They're similar enough in function to make something grow, and the actual process, planting something in the ground, they're similar enough. Well, let's say I graft something, so I do an act of grafting. It also helps something grow. So, but it's not as similar as planting something into the ground. So that's a toll. Let's say I water a plant, so I'm helping something grow. But it's clearly a different type of act than the actual planting something. I'm just watering it, so that's a toll. I add fertilizer. I add, according to some poskim, I put a plant into the sun, so it's able to get photosynthesis and grow because of that. That would be a toll. I'm not actually planting something; I'm making it grow. So it's the function is the same. The action is different. That's how you derive the toll from your office. The Yerushalmi seems to say not like that. The Yerushalmi presents a few scenarios. The Mora said, the Shami says, you know, that this is Osir. What's its av? So Rabbi Weiss raises the question. That's a very strange conversation. You don't mean to tell, the Yerushalmi seems to be starting off, listen, we know this is prohibited. Like, it's got to be Osir. Let's figure out which av we can blame it on. Right? That seems to be the language of the Yerushalmi. So he says, what you see from this Gemara is that there are certain actions which they came along and they looked at it and said, you know, there's no way understanding the content of Shabbos, this has to be prohibited. We will now work backwards to figure out what's the source. Sort of like the story that the Maggid has about this fellow was walking. Somebody asked the Maggid, how does he always have such good mashalim for everything that he? So he says, I'll answer you with a mushroom, right? So the fellow's walking along and passes by this farm, and he sees on the side of the farmhouse there's multiple targets, and every target there's an arrow in the middle of the bullseye. He says, this is phenomenal, this guy's an archer, like, wow, I gotta meet this guy. So he goes up to the farmhouse, he knocks on the door, says, can I, you know, speak to the head of the household? He says, yes. I said, I'm so impressed with your archery. Like, you look at this, like, everyone, it's smack in the middle. How do you do it? He says, very simple. I shoot the arrow first and I draw the target second. Right, so that was the Ramaga's answer. I start with the mushal, and then I find the place where I'm going to apply the mushal. That was his answer. I'm not sure that's true or not, but that's what he said. Well, so it's sort of like the Yerushalmi is saying, "Listen, we know it's us. We have the answer. We hit the target right now. Let's just draw the target and tell me why this is us." That's what Yerushalmi seems to say. Now, the truth is that there is somebody sent me after I gave this shiur a year ago in Baltimore. So a person named Mordechai Weisskopf sent me the following statement. He says he has not been able to substantiate it, so he can't prove it. So says that he read in an academic biography of the Chazon Ish. He says he thinks it's where he saw it. Somebody argued with the Chazon Ish about his Kiddush and electricity. The Chazon Ish responded, quote, you think that you need a reason in order to prohibit electricity on Shabbos? I think the opposite, that you need a reason to permit it. In other words, after any raya, the default should be to prohibit it, because otherwise there'll be no Shabbos. So that's almost what Rosh Weiss is saying. There's no shaila, the Chacham would be alive nowadays, they say, look at what this electricity is doing. Forget it. this can't be Mutar on Shabbos, we're going to pull down the whole house called Shabbos. So you got to prohibit it. Okay, we know it's us with the rice. Now what? Let's figure out what we can blame it on. So you'll say Boina, you'll say Makapatish, whatever. But that's irrelevant because we know it's about a Yosser. There's, the Chachamim definitely understood the flavor of Shabbos, the message of Shabbos, and what it's supposed to be. And they said this can't be Mutar. That's what he wants to suggest. It's a tremendous Chiddush. You see from all of the Rishonim and Akronim, when they discuss Avos and Tolfos, they do not seem to approach it based on this approach. I understand why we would be motivated to say that, etc. Now, I'll give you one example where you say this on a rabbinic level, and even that's a Chiddush. Ramosha has a tshuva, an actual tshuva for Ramosha, was asked about using timers. And Ramosha said no. Ramosha said you can't use timers on Shabbos. You can't put your appliances on timers before Shabbos, that the light should go on, light should go off, etc. You can't do that. Now, when timers first came around, there was a Maris Ayin issue potentially with timers. Imagine when I walk by a person's house, Jewish guy, all of a sudden the lights go off, the lights go on. I don't know what to do. What's the guy turn on the lights off on a job? I walk by his house and I hear the air conditioning, the good old days when the air conditioning was this window unit, and I walk by at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's quiet. Walk by 5 o'clock, I think, making this big loud noise, he turned on his air conditioning on Shabbos. Right? So potentially there was an issue of Maris Ayin, which probably is something nowadays that that's not an issue anymore. People are much more familiar with the idea of timers. So people understand that you didn't turn it on and off on Shabbos, you used the timers. But leaving that aside, Ramosha says, if you're going to use timers, you can basically run your whole factory on Shabbos. So the whole idea that a person will sit in the factory and just like watch this, look, he'll be basically involved in looking, thinking about his work, having his whole factory running based on timers. So the same way Chazal asked Amir Lahakum, because Chazal didn't want you to be the Shabbos of before Amir Lahakum was Osir, the Shabbos of the Torah, I could sit in my manager's seat and have the guy, hey, do this and that, and I could be basically involved in running a factory on Shabbos just without doing anything, because Mir Lakum. So Chal Kemal said, no, that's not what we want you to do. That the Shabbos is not about that. Shabbos is about... So they asked her. So Moshe says, I have no doubt if the Chal would be alive nowadays, they would say that timers goes into that same Isser, and therefore you can't use timers on Shabbos. So now, Ramosha is being Mechadis, and this is Rabbanan. I could hear that the Chal would have wanted Asr, but they didn't. You can't make up your own Rabbanans. But Ramosha said, so you can't use timers. And this Tommy didn't actually follow Ramosha's psak. They don't use timers. They do use timers for lights, because B'chal, even the Mir La'akum, the history in Klai Yisrael was before the world of electric lights, candles ran out. So there was, what do you do with the Shabbos afternoon? Things are getting very dark. What do you do? They would tell the goyim to turn on the lights. So the Ramosha says, this was the minig. Even though Amir Lakum and a derisa is not permitted even for major needs, except for a person with a charla, there's one sheet of Shadrach holds that it's mutter. There's a Gemara in Gittin in the first parak. The Gemara says that you could that a case where you're buying a piece of land or a house, piece of land from a goy in Eretz Yisrael. You could have the goy write up the document on Shabbos, because you're getting back the land from the goyim. That's so. What's that heter? So one of the Shadim learns, we see from here that Amir Lahakum for mitzvah is mutter, even though it's the raisa. We're familiar with the other shoes to shoes for mitzvah. It's one shoes. It's Amir Lahakum and the raisa. That's true by a charla, but he says it's not only by a charla, it's by other things. So we're sabach on that sheet of Mishanim regards to turning on lights. That was the Masar and Klai Yisrael. The Ramah says, Nadav Yehuda explains that Ramah, that we're speaking sabach on that opinion. That learns that there's other ways to learn that Gemara. One way to learn is purchasing land there, it's still getting away from the garden, is an extraordinary mitzvah. And it's only by that mitzvah, not by anything else. That's one way to learn. Another way to learn is that the type of writing they used was not a ksiva deraisa. So there are multiple ways to learn the Gemara. But assuming that this Gemara is teaching me this rule, so they were semech on that in regards to turning on lights, having going to do lights. So Rashi says, if you're ready, being semech on Amir La'akum on lights, you can use timers for lights also. I'm saying it's like Amir Lakum. Well, Amir Lakum for lights, so then it's a timer, but not nothing else. So he was making up a new iser, but he's saying this is clearly what the message was. So that's by the Rabbanon. Here we're saying, well, let's take this like up, way up from the Rabbanon to the Raya. So that's the thing, is a tremendous chiddush. Dayan Weiss has an interesting shuba where he says, so what do we do? So you can't ignore the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish holds us to the Raisa. Rabbi Asher Weiss is also arguing to the Raisa, but the Chazon Ish is definitely Mekubal and Klai Yisrael. You can't argue, you can't ignore the Chazon Ish. Okay. So he says, when it comes to a Jew doing the Melach himself, we have to deal with Pasuk Yitzhak the Raisa. What about when you ask a Goy to do it? So we know that asking a Goy to do something, if it's a Rabbanan, Shus, the Shus, is Mutter. In case of Tzar Gadol, case of Hefsid, there are scenarios. So do we deal with it like a Deraisa? So to me, like one of Deraisa, because according to the Chazon Ish, now I can't be Matir because of a Hefsid, or to the Rabbanan, I could be Matir because of a Hefsid. She says, Minigar Paiskim is when it comes to Mir Lakum, which we can assume it's a Rabbanan. So it's a Shus to Shus, so therefore you can be Makel to ask a Goy to do it in Malkum Hefsid. You can ask a Goy to do it. Makom Tzar Gadol, Makom Tzar Mitzvah. There's different terms of Mir Lakum, and the Rabbanon, etc.
For lights, for what? I'm sorry.
So would be relevant. I mean, you know, let's say somebody came to me. He said that, you know, that many times the action itself, I can't ask the guy to turn on the heat because over there he's making a fire. Mm-hmm. That you know, well, it's electric, but the way the electricity works is that it makes something glow and it heats it, etc. So that's, but dealing again, like, you know, the fan is, it's very hot in the house, I want to turn on the fan. Mm-hmm. So all I'm doing is turning on a fan. So it's a Mir Lakum on a fan. So Mir Lakum, it's Tzar Gadol. Mm-hmm. Right? Those type of things. Somebody says he left his lights on in his car, that's going to kill his battery. You know, he mamash, he's right now, he doesn't have to work, you know, paying for a new battery, $100, he mamash can't afford it. You know, so the law is by Hefsid, we define Hefsid based on the individual. So Rothschild's definition of Hefsid Gadol, right? Bill Gates' definition of Hefsid Gadol and mine are not the same. Right? So we would.
This is the furlough issue.
What?
This is the furlough shit.
Right.
I'm sorry, with lights, it is maybe a glowing incandescent light.
Right, so that's the rice. That's potentially okay. The rice. One last point. There's interesting piece from Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Rosh Hashanah Zalman, his mother was... The children chipped it together and bought a hearing aid for his mother in the 1930s. Now the problem was in those days the batteries would not last the whole Shabbos. So the question was turning the hearing aid on and off to preserve the battery, to be able to have, well, so she doesn't need it on the whole night when she's sleeping. So you wear it at nighttime, you turn it off before you go to bed, you turn it on in the morning. And so she goes to davening, you know, she wants it on, you know. So you could preserve the battery and she could have the so, but you're turning on and off electricity. Mm-hmm. Rosh Hashanah Zalman told his mother's mutter. He felt that turning on, what is it doing? It's amplifying sound. It's not doing anything. There's no, the action, there's no lights being, lit over there. There is the idea of electricity itself. He held was not Aish. He felt it wasn't a problem turning something on and off. That's not makapatish. I mean, this is how it functions. It goes on and it goes off. That's how you use it. That's how it's made to use. That's not adding something new to it. So he said it's mutter. He told his mother it's mutter. When the Chazon Ish wrote his piece about electricity, that it's also deraisa, to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, was obviously taken aback that he, you know, passed it otherwise. And the Rosh Hashanah Zalman's deference to the Chazon Ish was tremendous. So he wrote a letter explaining why he maybe the, you know, his why he might disagree with the Chazon Ish, you know, and that's what the Chazon Ish wrote back to him. That's why we have our clearest understanding of the Chazon Ish is basically letters back and forth to Rosh Hashanah Zalman. But the backstory to Rosh Hashanah Zalman's letter was he was asking this because he had Paskin's Leheter, that it's not a problem. So at the end of the day, after the Chazon Ish Paskin, he disagreed with the Chazon Ish, but he said, I'm not going to Paskin Heter anymore. You know, I'm not going to pass against the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish. So, but what he did say is the following: that even if it, like the Chazon Ish, something which is on but it cycles. Let's say refrigerator. So the action it's doing is compressing a gas. That's not a. There's no malach involved in compressing the gas. So that's not the, what the machine is doing is not the problem. There's no lights involved. The only problem is electricity. Well, you're adding function. It says you're not adding function. A refrigerator which runs all the time is a broken refrigerator. The refrigerator, you want it to cycle. That's how it works. And it gets to a certain temperature, then it turns off. So it's not called when it's off, it's broken. It's not like the Chayalim's case. A clock which doesn't tell time is broken. Well, it's not broken because you can fix it very easily by pulling the weights and putting tension back into the coil, into the spring, and making it functional. Yes, but right now it's not working. When your refrigerator is off, you say, "Oh, your refrigerator's not working." Oh, now your refrigerator's working. Now it's not working. It's not broken. That's how it's supposed to function. So he said, even according to the Chazon Ish, he feels that would not be a problem. So Rosh Hashanah, this issue of, let's say, opening the refrigerator door and causing the motor to turn on, to cycle, because warm air is going in and therefore it has to cycle, Shlomo Zalman did not see it was a problem at all, even according to the Chazon Ish. You cannot say he went from dysfunctional to functional, etc. That which he stood by halacha l'maisa, but the pasuk of the Chazon Ish he would not do. Now the reason I'm stressing that, there was, if you remember, like a little while back, they had this thing about the Shabbos app. You know, this idea that you can create an app which would allow you to text on Shabbos, Beheter, etc. Different types of ideas. The backstory to their Heter is they wanted to be some kind of Shlomo Zalman, the electricity is mutter. And the way they wrote it, that wasn't their publicity, but one of their emails to somebody, they said, you know, listen, Rosh Hashanah really held his mutter. He just, you know, he was scared of the Chazon Ish. That's not what Rosh Hashanah said. Rosh Hashanah said he understands the stature of the Chazon Ish. The deference of the Chazon Ish was such that I would not pass the Chazon Ish. I don't have a right to pass the Chazon Ish. Not like this. I really held his mutter. But I'm scared of the big black rabbis out there who are going to eat me up alive if I pass the Heter. You know, that's how they were writing it. So we'll be some kind of Rosh Hashanah really held. And, you know, that's the backstory to that, which is why it never took off. Mm-hmm. Because in their publicity, obviously, it's not going to take off if they're coming across with that type of attitude. So they didn't write that. But once the backstory came out, that this is, you know, they're trying to go to a shita, which Rosh Hashanah said, please don't pass him like that. He's, you know, like, well, so you're smarter than Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you hold Rosh Hashanah as Taka gets it. But he doesn't get it that you're supposed to have deference to the Chazon Ish. You know, and you really know that's wrong. And he Pasha didn't cop that, you know, wrong. Shlomo Zalman said the Chazon Ish's stature is such that you have to know where you fit into the picture. There's just end with a story about that. There's a maisa with a Bucher once went to Rav Huttner. Like, we don't believe in the infallibility of the rabbis. You know, the certain religions have the infallibility of the Pope, etc. We have to make mistakes, so maybe I caught them in a mistake. So Huttner said like this. It says, imagine you're in a physics class and the teacher is Einstein. The professor is Einstein, and he's presenting some point about physics, and you say, you know, he made a mistake. Now, is Einstein infallible? Of course not. He can make mistakes. But if you think you caught Einstein in a mistake, you're an idiot. So, you know, that was his answer to the, if you, the Chacham can make mistakes, but if you think you're the one who caught the mistake in the Chacham, you're probably an idiot. And also a guy, I would add it. So that was Shlomo Zalman's point. I am not going to, you know, to say that Chazon Ish is wrong. It's not a deraisa, and I feel that even though Shlomo Zalman, in an argument, you know, felt very strongly, you see from his letters, felt very strongly about that. He says, the depth of the knowledge and understanding of the Chazon Ish is way, way beyond those. And, you know, you can't halacha l'maaseh go connect with it. Okay.